This is Worldwide News reporting on the FallCon 2015 Best Dressed Man in Comics competition. For those of you who've been following this story, longtime title holder, our own Uncle Rat Bastard, charming and delightful, but also the best dressed man in comics, was defending his title against cosplayer and Velociraptor enthusiast Lyndon Palmer. It was a tough competition, and at one point, Lyndon had his hand raised in victory. However, due to the fact that Lyndon was wearing a clip-on tie, the title was once again awarded to show host, Rencontour, the charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. The hashtag Team Corey was trending on Twitter. Two people is trending, right? We have one of the judges here to explain why he made the decision he made.
Oh, this was just a travesty, I tell you. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I've done so many of these that I've judged. Normally they're taken off their clothes and we're not actually judging de-clothing, but, you know, it was a different thing. But a fake tie. Fake. This is, again, in the ones that I do, fake things around the chest are usually okay. In fact, they're kind of encouraged. But a fake tie in this particular arena, it was just... Oh, I can't believe it. I am so disappointed and devastated.
And now we have Judge Joe Crazy Ryder, who was involved in overturning the decision.
Oh, hell yeah. Corey gave me this awesome bag of Mrs. Freshley's mini donuts, chocolate frosted. God, I love these things. It didn't matter what happened. He won.
More controversy at the title contest.
Oh, hell yeah.
We go back to the studio.
And finally, former Crazy Comics and Stories host, okay, of one episode, episode 52, the episode that got more hate mail than any episode we've ever done, Reginald Von Reginald chimes in with his opinion.
So, I hear that Corey went up against this Lyndon character for the best dressed man in comics. I don't understand. As far as I could tell, neither one of them was wearing a woggle. So, really, how did either one of them win? For that matter, what is this, the best dressed man in comics? Isn't that an oxymoron? I mean, I've seen many, many of these conventions, as they're called, and I don't think anyone was dressed in a way one would say best. Perhaps it is the worst dressed man in comics. That must be it, because, I mean, you look at these fans, and, I mean, have they heard of a bath, or perhaps a shower? Oh, a washing machine, especially for their clothing. Oh, anyway, perhaps if I had actually watched the competition, I would understand more.
And there you have it, Corey Strode, Uncle Rat Bastard, still the best-dressed man in comics. This is Worldwide News, eventually returning as a comic strip. Someday. Maybe. We hope so. Welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Ryder. How you doing today, Joe?
Well, I'm telling you, I'm still trying to finish this bag of Mrs. Freshly mini donuts you got me for the con. I want to say thank you for bringing them, but you got to remember, donuts of this quality are used on road trips, not comic conventions.
How am I supposed to know the difference?
Well, you only get pie at comic conventions.
I didn't get any pie at comic. I brought tons of snacks.
This is not freaking.
I, two bags of snacks. No. Well, this cannot wait.
I'm going to have another donut.
Bags of snacks. Oh, they're even good when they're raw. Not a single person brought me pie. You ungrateful wretches, all of you. And we had fans come up, shake our hands, wave at us, say hello, some of whom even talked to Joe.
No one talked to me that was from the show because nobody recognized me.
Oh, you were in disguise?
I had my hat off. I'm incognito. Oh.
No one brought me pie. No one.
Joe's eating stuff and I don't have any.
I know. And what a rat bastard. He didn't even give you any donuts.
Why?
I didn't give you any donuts, but there is food there. Trust me, I know.
What's even worse, Corey ordered me a pizza because he's a goody two-shoes.
First of all, Corey hasn't even introduced the lovely and talented Jin Wicked
talented? What did you just say?
I said lovely and talented. But you want to know what a rat bastard Corey is?
Yes.
He did not invite Butch.
Should we invite Butch? And
you said, no, I don't want it to turn into a free-for-all like the pre-con show. Let's wait and see. And that was the last I heard about it. I sat all day Sunday, which I'll talk about in geeking, reading comics, and you never once even Twitter-fied me, Instafied me, or even Grammed me. But however,
we'll get to that when we get to hanging at the
home. I did have plenty of Mrs. Freshley's mini donuts. Oh, God.
You had two bags of those things.
I don't know. I still got half a bag, too. These are great. However, that's not what I want to talk about.
It's not?
No. I want to talk about that MSP Comic-Con 2016 is coming. May 14th and 15th, 2016, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds at the Grandstand Building, of course. And this is over 100,000 square feet of comics. And the rumor has it they're going to have more comic creators there than the Small Press Expo. And don't worry about advance tickets. They go on sale starting January 1st. And, of course...
Wow, you could wake up from your hangover and buy con tickets.
That sounds like a good idea.
And as soon as the con boys are out of their Odin sleep, go to www.mcbacomiccons.com. Plus, we'll talk about this, I guess.
Be there!
When we went back to...
I did it too early, didn't I?
Fall Comic-Con. Well, see,
be there!
I'm just learning like you, Lou, just to keep rolling. Because when we were at Fall Comic-Con, we recorded... a plethora of interviews, oodles of minutes of people. And one of the persons I got to interview was Mike Fergan, who gave us an exclusive.
A scoop?
It was.
Hot news, everybody. Hot news. Gather everybody around the Victrola. Perk your ear in and listen. What's the hot news?
Oh, hell no. I'm not going to tell it. You got to go edit that interview and put it on one of this here podcasts.
We'll talk about how we're going to do that because I came up with an idea that everybody on the podcast.
You're going to keep calm, unplug your phone, ignore your family, and eat some pie.
Nobody brought me any damn pie.
You could have bought some on the way home.
I have to make my own pie now. But I have fresh peaches.
And a bag full of heavily sugared bacon.
No, it's gone.
Oh, good.
We'll talk about that when we get to the Falcon stuff. And I don't know. Is there anything else we need in the intro? Joe, other than the con, what have you been up to for the last week?
Pretty much just getting ready for the con.
No. Jen, other than the con, what have you been up to for the last week?
Mostly moping.
Well, that ends now.
Okay.
Otherwise, I will have to mention MSP Comic-Con 2016. Nah, we won't go down that road too often. Although I will mention, on November 7th, Saturday, there is Comic Cards and Collectibles show at Bloomington VFW. It's 311 West 84th Street, behind the Cub Foods, in Bloomington.
It's
I know where that is.
10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. $5 to get in. Kids under 16 free. www.comiccard.net. So far, they have special guests. Now, this is a combination sports and comic book show. Not as grandiose as the MCBA ones, but still a lot of fun to go to. They're going to have Sammy White, who is a two-time Pro Bowler, Rookie of the Year for the Vikes.
Sorry, didn't mean to laugh.
Ted Brown, laugh again. Vikings three-time leading rusher. These guys, speaking of charging for autographs, it's $20 per autograph, $15 for Ted. And then Maggot, Sergeant Slaughter is going to be there.
Sergeant Slobber?
Yep, he'll be there 10:30 to 12:30. And $20 per autograph, Maggot.
Can I do my Sergeant Slobber impersonation of the only storyline I ever saw him in, ever?
Sure.
Ahem. I want my country back.
Sounds like you're a bit constipated from all that sugared bacon.
I didn't eat any of the bacon.
Comic book-wise, Eric Larson, legendary comic artist and writer and publisher of Savage Dragon, will be there. And Tom...
And now...
How do you say his name? Yeah, I saw that. Tom Nagin? Is that how you say it? Or Nagin?
Nagin.
And he'll be there as well. So check it out. And that's really all the plugs I got. There's all sorts of stuff coming up. I mean, CryptCon is coming up towards the end of the month, which is kind of like a horror convention.
And guess what, Joe?
What's that?
I have an exclusive to break on the show.
Ooh, I like that.
The whole crew has been invited to the Holiday Geek whatever show, which we will get more details about. But we've all been invited to podcast and to set up and sell stuff, and it's free.
Ooh.
For us.
Well, I thought I wasn't listening.
I wasn't either.
We're going to be setting up at some Holiday Geek expo convention thingamabob. They're giving us free tables.
Oh, neat. Am I going?
You're part invited. Of the crew. We wouldn't go without you. I mean, we might leave Ringo Starr at home, a.k.a. Butch, but we're never going to leave you at home.
It's free because I don't feel like selling stuff.
Yeah, but you could talk with us.
Yeah, I can do that.
You can sit there and look cute in your hat.
Can you feed me alcohol?
Somebody will.
It's a deal.
I've learned to bring a hidden pitcher.
Yes, there were mimosas being served. Holy crap, this is why we need the internet. Someone just uploaded their complete collection of Kmart in-store background music.
I saw that on Facebook.
That may be the final piece I need to get this Solo Joe off the ground.
Well, thanks for guaranteeing I'll never listen.
Oh, good. Then I can really tell you the real story behind the Strode.
Like I have any secrets left anymore.
That's true. I've seen his NSA file. It's in the file marked boring.
So do we want to talk a little about the Fall Con?
Oh, hell yeah.
Go into it? Do we want to talk about it?
Yes. Yeah,
we had a blast. I mean, this was kind of weird because it's the first time we set up the podcast there, and we weren't really sure what we were going to do. We're just going to let the mic go. Were we just going to, I don't know. I had no clue what would happen.
I had ideas.
I actually kind of winged it. But you started off interviewing.
Actually, I started off in a panic. Wednesday night, last week, I got the podcast mixed early because normally I don't get it done till later in the week. But no, I knew that I was going to be busy on Saturday. I was going to be working on Sunday. Friday, I wasn't going to have time. I didn't want to do it Thursday because then I'd be pushing it. So Wednesday night, I finished up mixing the podcast, got my laptop, updated everything. And I mean everything. Including, I checked to make sure, there's a new version of Audacity out. Audacity is the program we use to record raw audio. Download the new version, get rid of the old version, test it, make sure everything's fine, charge the laptop, get it in the bag, Okay, ready, done. Thursday, did all my cooking. A lot of cooking. And then Saturday, get there early, get everything set up for me, get the laptop, get this. I had Lyndon Palmer, who I interviewed a while back on Solitaire Rose, the solo podcast. He's a cosplayer and a longtime friend, and it was good to have Lyndon there. Lyndon also was challenging me for the title, which we will get to. And we get all of our stuff set up. We get everything brought in. I check the computer and hook up the microphone, and I realize I left my headset at home.
Dun, dun, dun.
But I brought my microphone because I always have a backup. Okay, here we go. Fire up Audacity. Click, double click on the icon. And nothing. What do you mean nothing? Go and look. Program's not there, but the shortcut's still there. Okay, fine. Fine. I'll figure this out. I'm sure Microsoft has something I can use in their Windows 10. Open that up. Turn on the microphone. Do a test recording. Oh my God, did it sound like shit? All right, we can't use that. Well, turn on the Wi-Fi. Ah, there's State Fair Wi-Fi. I remember that. You could buy State Fair Wi-Fi. All right, we're good. Click on it to buy the State Fair Wi-Fi. You know, all I need is like 10 minutes, but you buy it in hour chunks. And I wait. And I wait. And I wait. And then Joe comes in. I'm still waiting. Sweat pouring down my fevered brow.
Which is really an ugly sight, but we'll go on.
Pretty much anything around me is an ugly sight. Come on, let's be honest.
Sweaty Strode.
It's like a Yeti who got taken down to the equator. So Joe says, well, I got a hotspot. Cool, great. Please, let's set it up now. I'm panicking. I'll get to it. Oh, my God. Joe made me wait for 15 minutes, and I don't wait well when things aren't working. If you ever want to see me have a complete and utter nervous breakdown, be around me when my car breaks down. I'm just amazed they have not locked me up in a psych ward when my car breaks down. But Joe, we've set up the hotspot. I download Audacity again. Boom, we're good. We're ready to go. Now, my plan was that we would fire up the computer. Joe had laid flyers on all the creators' tables to come by and be interviewed. And I walked around and told people, hey, you know, here's where we are. Just come by whenever you have time. Plug your stuff. We'll interview. I'd given Joe 5 questions to kind of start with that I don't think either of us used.
Next time we've got to tell them not only will if they want to drop something off for us to review, we will, but we'll also offer them shots of something.
I got to bring even more booze. Jen, are you okay with that?
Huh? Booze? Great.
Are you okay with me bringing booze that you don't drink?
Why would you do that?
Joe?
Well, we're trying to entice other creators over because not everybody came over. You know, with 175 plus guests, we got a lot of interviews, but, you know, we didn't get as many as we thought. And part of that's because when the guests are there, a lot of times they're hustling their business. They're signing autographs. They're doing sketches. They've got their wares set up. So, you know, a few guys I talked with, I told them, hey, come on over. But, you know, it was a busy con. There were a lot of people. It was really well
attended. Did anybody hear that?
What is that?
I don't know, but it sounds like somebody's...
No, somebody is vacuuming directly above the cyclotron.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yes. I'm telling you, this mic picks up everything. As soon as the squirrel farts that's stuck in my dryer over there, we're going to hear it too.
How's your bunny?
It's safe and sound. Poor little bunny.
Soft.
A rabbit.
Yeah, Jen wasn't here last week. She doesn't know that the bunny nearly died.
What?
No, it didn't die.
But you thought it had.
But now she has a reason to go listen to the last week's podcast.
That's right. That's called a tease, ladies and gentlemen.
And the weird thing about last week's podcast, it was kind of in a twilight zone because we'd already recorded the the Comic-Con show, and now this is the post-Comic-Con show, so that one kind of just exists in a time warp.
It's astounding.
It's a fixed point in time.
I don't think it's that important.
They are all that important.
Oh, anyways.
But the plan I had was to kind of record bits and pieces when somebody came by, grab them for an interview, maybe, you know, interesting people come by, costume people. But the thing that I liked was when the con, about 10 minutes before the con opened, I just opened up the microphone. Lyndon was sitting next to me, pathetically attempting to challenge for my title. And we just kept the microphone on and talked about the convention and what was going on and what we were seeing and what we were looking forward to. And so that'll probably be in the first episode. What we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, is as I take the raw audio, I'm going to try and form it into sort of hour-long episodes of times when we were just talking, times when Joe was interviewing someone, times when I was interviewing someone, and kind of put together just hour-long, hey, here's more from FallCon. And as we go to more conventions, we'll be doing more of that, which means you get even more episodes, more audio.
And I was kind of excited, too, because
so you're welcome.
We actually got some interviews with people that we have long talked about but never really got a chance to get on the podcast. My old partner, Gruber, Dan Wiesemeyer, one of the original founders of Hot Comics, actually got to talk with Butch a little bit. Pete Krause, illustrator, super nice guy. I mean, I've told the story about interviewing him in college all those years ago. A couple guys did get away, but hey, there's always next time.
And if we start setting up at more conventions, that means more opportunities for the fans to come see us. More opportunities for them to sit down with the microphone and tell us about their collection, tell us about what they like. More opportunities to see Jen drunk. She's not listening. And to buy her stuff.
Yes.
Okay, buy her stuff. It's awesome.
And one thing that
but she gets all... She glares at me when I say it too much.
Yeah, it's hard. And she does it even through the radio, this here internet tubes and wires and stuff. Corey knows she's glaring at her.
Well, no, she can't hear us right now.
One thing that I was
but
actually...
when she listens to this, she's going to glare at me so hard that I'll probably just shrink
the
down
internet
into
break.
The seat.
Call Al Gore. Well, we must fix the internet. I am pleased to say the one thing that was improvised, which turned out better than I'd hoped, is I actually got to talk to, I think, three or four of my customers from my old shop just to kind of get their reaction and things like that. There were a few I talked with that didn't want to, but so I was kind of happy with that. Saw quite a few people. I mean, it's always the con itself was just fabulous. It was busy the whole time. Went off really well.
It was crazy.
I think no.
There was one time I went over to try and, you know, talk to Stephanie because she was involved in the Best Dressed Man in Comics, and I wanted her and her lovely, lovely husband to come over and sit and talk because he's got a really fascinating life story too. But I couldn't get through the aisles. There were too many people.
One interesting thing I did find out, I talked with one of the guys. You know, they talked about doing the advanced tickets, something that they've always talked about for years but never got a chance to do. Out of the thousands of people that went, he said about 100 people bought their tickets online in advance. And those people got to stand in the short line.
Ooh.
So, again, if you are game to go to the upcoming MSP Comic-Con, you know, get advanced tickets. It's really nice. You walk in, you show your, I don't know what, I haven't done the advanced ticket thing because this is the first year we were actually, I guess it sounds funny. We were an exhibit.
Yes.
We've been volunteers. Corey, you were close to the founders. I mean, you were there in the beginning.
I was one of the founders.
I
ran the damn thing from 19, what? When did Paul give up?
Well, I actually
Either 92.
I talked with Brian.
And then I ran it until 96.
Yeah, I talked with Brian, too, because Brian Wilson, one of the senior, what do you call himself, elder statesmen now, got to talk
yes.
with him a little bit about the beginning of the show. Of course, I've been a retailer for dozens of cons, and a volunteer. Yeah, the first time as a I don't know if we were considered an exhibit or a guest. I think we were under exhibits. So
we were an exhibit.
We were.
Which,
but we did get a guest.
Made me wonder why they didn't put us in glass cages.
I'm looking for my badge because I think we were considered guests. Oh well, either way, we were there.
We were there, and we were beloved.
We was beloved.
Now what are you dropping?
That's my brand new chair. Dana got me two rolling computer chairs, which is great because I used to sit on old kitchen table chairs, which were really bad for the back. But now, when I have to go all the way back here to get, like, something that I want to talk to, like the aforementioned Crypticon, which will be October 23rd, 24th, and 25th at the Ramada Mall of America in Bloomington. And you go to CrypticConMinneapolis.com, and you'll see just the tons and tons of guests that they got going. And I'm hoping to go actually on the 25th because I'm off Sunday and check that out. And then, of course, we got news. Corey and I were talking about this at the con. One nice thing about the MCBA is they will promote other conventions as long as there's quid pro quo, you know, if you put out the flyers for them. I got a flyer for the Midwest Comic Con down in the Iowa Events Center, which is, again, November 7th and 8th. The other show we talked about is November 7th. Jim Steranko is going to be down there.
Oh.
I think Corey and I are actually talking about maybe taking a road trip down there on the 8th and checking it out. I mean, that would...
Now, what day is that?
That would be... The 8th would be a Sunday.
Of what?
November.
8th of what month? Okay. November. 8th of November. Let me look. Oh, that is not good. That is a weekend that I work.
Oh, well, be sick. Because... If you need to know more about tickets, updates, or any other information, go to the MidwestComicCon.com. And so there, we actually got quite a few cons and events coming up, so this is going to be kind of fun.
And I have talked to a couple people about getting us into more conventions, Joe. Not as, you know, fanboys, not as people to wander around, but no, with the table, with the laptop, with the microphone. And if you know of a convention in your area, if you're involved in a convention, yeah, make it within a day's drive of Minneapolis, because I don't know if I want to be in a car for 2 days with Joe. Can you imagine all the goddamn donuts he'll eat during that time?
And don't worry, I like to eat a lot of sauerkraut before I get in a car road trip.
Oh,
well, you pass by those restrooms, you don't want to be blanked.
And
I don't know how long those Burger King Whoppers will keep, but, you know.
I would imagine that we could talk Jen into going. I've learned how to make the drink she likes, so there's always that. Now, the one thing I did for my friends at the convention is I made snacks. As I said, I had two bags of snacks. Jen isn't around right now. She's probably
just forgot that I muted my microphone. I'm sorry. I was actually talking, but you couldn't hear me.
No, we couldn't hear you. Did you say anything we'd like?
No, I already forgot.
Did you make fun of me?
I'm not drinking, and I'm in a kind of no
funk.
Yeah, I'm funky, so sorry to disappoint.
Well, that's okay. You know, we're just happy you're here.
Thank you.
I made muffins, coffee cake muffins. I made chocolate chip cookies.
I didn't even get one.
They were right there. I pointed them to you.
Rat bastard.
I'm not carrying them around and sticking them in your mouth.
He hides them is what he does. He said, they're right there. I look back, and there is, like, the tablecloth that I accidentally spilt my drink on and a couple coats. Oh, yeah, those look like cookies.
I don't know. Stephanie and
her
husband
were able
to find the
You became a goody two-shoes. You're really turning into a rat bastard.
Butch was able to find the cookies. Your daughter was able
Butch
to find the cookies.
Find cookie her friend was able to find cookies. Snowstorm during a total eclipse.
Lyndon and his boyfriend found the cookies. Maybe you're just incompetent, Joe.
But
did you ever think?
I had a bag of Mrs.
Freshly's mini donuts. Oh, God, they're good.
But I know how much you people like your bacon. So I went to the Costco, and I bought the thick-cut Applewood smoked bacon.
You bought the kind of bacon that I like.
And the funny thing was, is Costco actually had him detained, because that was the first time he'd ever bought meat there, and they weren't sure it was really him.
The search was horrifying.
TSA
style.
But still,
it was the first, it was the first physical caress I'd had in about 2 years. So it was great in that way. But I took the bacon, I turned it into praline bacon. I had a bag of the stuff that worked properly and the bag of the stuff where the praline did not adhere properly. And it was gone by 2 p.m.
Neat. So see, not only are you going to get a great podcast and some interviews on it, but if you stop by, you get fed.
That's right. And I made Jen a thermos of mimosas.
Yep.
With cranberry juice.
Yep.
With diet cranberry juice.
Yes.
Good or bad?
I don't know. Ask her.
It's good.
I thought I just did. You see how he just jumps in and assumes it's all about him? I mean, I direct the question to you, Jen, and he just answers for you. Now, the question I have, step back from the podcast. What non-podcast stuff did you do at the con?
Me?
Anybody. Usually this is where I break in a whole list of things that I bought.
I only bought 2 things. And I'm just giddy as a schoolgirl about both of them. The first is the Animal Man Omnibus. Because it was like $25.
I know. This is one of those things. I saw it, and I knew Dana has a real thing for Grant Morrison.
She has a real thing for Grant Morrison.
But instead, I bought 2 Captain Britain hardcovers. Siege of Camelot and Birth of a Legend. And I was going to mention it to Dana, and lo and behold, here comes Corey. He bought the graphic novels. And, of course, you did not leave it for Dana, which is fine because she's got plenty of other things to read.
Well, she had left, and she left it there. I'm going to take it home.
Better.
It's not going to be my leather jacket.
You borrowed me 1 hardcover. I figure I can get it when I finish that and give it back to you.
And then I was going to – somebody had said, hey, Corey, blah, blah, blah is over here. They want – So as I'm walking by, I see someone had $20 archives, and they had all of the Thunder Agent archives. Now, I love the Thunder Agents, but after they were done reprinting all of it, about a year later, they put out a Volume 7, which was reprinted this unauthorized series that was done in the 80s, because for a time, people thought the Thunder Agents were in public domain. And really, if you look at the original comics, they were not copyrighted or trademarked. But the guy who published the Thunder Agent comics in the 80s because he thought it was public domain did not have the money for the legal fight. So now they're back under trademark. But they reprinted all of those, which had stories by George Perez, stories by Dave Cockrum, stories by Keith Giffen. And then it had, I haven't got to these yet because I've never read them. Penthouse Comics actually did some short Thunder Agent stories. Those are all in the 7th archive, which I did not get, and now I have. So I can finally read those. And those were the only 2 things I bought. Anybody else do anything fun?
Well, I hit a guy. The last
you con, need to stop hitting people at conventions, Joe.
I can't help it. You don't feed me chocolate chip cookies, I get ornery. But Greg Hammer had his $2 boxes that he refilled. And so the Friday night I went out with setup and I picked up just some odd things. The oddest thing was this the Century Company catalog from February 1925. It's missing the back cover, but on the back it tells me how to do ivory soap sculptures. And so,
for when you're, for you, to help you pass the time in prison.
Well, I just figure I have your Christmas gift figured out now. A couple Dell comics, the Dirty Dozen, which I may have again, but I usually don't buy it unless it has a photo cover. This one did. I've never heard of it. Murals Marauders. Exhausted and starving, sick and wounded, they fought on. I picked up a Vampirless Strikes number 1 variant that has a photo cover of a model I actually met when we were in Chicago. She was doing the Vampirella modeling for Harris. A couple books I may flip, a couple Lady Death limited ones, an Ash Vampirella. And then two graphic novels, 30 Days of Night, which although I had a long time ago the first copy, and when the first copy of the graphic novels came out, he signed them all. I had the comics, but the comics had gone crazy in price, so I ended up selling them at the shop. I have yet to actually read this. Picked up Witchblade Volume 1. And then I did get a Buffy book, because my wife and Dana are really into the Buffy show. She looked high and low for the Buffy, Season 8, but nobody had it. Nobody had the Teen Titans I was looking for. So it was really kind of, you know, weird. You can never count on finding things that you want. But again, you find some stuff. Like I said, these Captain Britain hardcovers, they reprint a lot of the UK stuff from Super Spider-Man and Captain Britain. Some of the US stuff, Marvel Team Up, Hulk Comic 1, Incredible Hulk Weekly. And I'm not sure if these are the Alan Moore ones or not, because they don't really mention him on the cover or anything. They might be afterwards, but either way, I'm looking forward to reading it, mostly because, like you said, it's stuff I've never read before. Cover-wise, I've been really getting into these action figure cover variants. I don't know, they just kind of remind me of when I was buying the Secret Wars toys and things like that, so I was able to find Secret Wars Journal 1 and Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows 1. They have some newer ones that came out in the newer style, like you'd find now at Toys R Us and places like that. And they happen to be two new books. So I picked up Doctor Strange 1 and Invincible Iron Man 1. And I read Doctor Strange. I'll talk a little bit of that in Geeking. Let me just look. There was somebody out front, which was really weird. They had a pile of books from Future Dude. Somebody had set up, they had a really neat car with their logos and some of the characters, and she was basically inviting people to grab free previews and get the entire series of Parallel Man out front. I didn't realize I could have done that. I found out because somebody accidentally left a copy at our table. And you know me, free is free. I'm pretty good about that.
Free! That's the right price.
If you look on the MCBA's Facebook page, you'll see a lot of photos in the album that I took. Nobody else has loaded anything yet. So you'll see a picture of the car. Got a couple nice shots of our podcast. Now, the coolest thing I got, they were doing a silent auction that the proceeds go for MCAD scholarships in our good friend Nick Post's name. And one of the things that I did is we talked about it at, if you want to go all the way back to the SpringCon episodes, we ended up inheriting a large collection that Nick used to use as con stock. And we sold it at the charity booth, and I've been selling it off of eBay. Anything that's with that will have the MCBA logo on it, and I give it to the MCBA for, they either use it for charity or for proceeds for the next show or whatever. I took a short box, and I took about 100 of the variant covers that Nick had collected, and I put them in the box. So I figure, 100 variants,
I'll seal it so you don't really get a chance to look and cherry pick, but you just know these are books that Nick had in his own Comstock. So here's me. I'm getting them, you know, I got them all in the box and I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 98. Okay, well, let's put two more in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, skip a few, 97. All right, let's put three more in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 103. Okay, you know what? I'm sealing the box. I don't care anymore. I did make sure there weren't any duplicates in there. And you figure average price of the variants ran about $5. You know, some of the variants were more, some maybe might not be worth anything, but most of the variants at least had $5. So you're talking, that's about $500 worth of comics just in that one short box. And sealed it up, gave it to the guys for the con. I think it went about $100, if not more. So that was pretty serious. I bought My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, that had been signed by some of the voice talents from the show. Tabitha St. Germain, who's the voice of Rarity and others. Kathy Wesoluck, who's the voice of Spike. Ingrid Nilsson, who's the voice of Maud Pye. And Black Griffin, who does Brony DJ and his other voices on the show. So that was kind of cool. I kind of like that. Actually, switching back to podcasts for a minute, I did actually get a chance to interview two people that I thought was kind of cool. The first one was my nephew, Zach, and he is a full-fledged brony. So I talked with him and some of his buddies. And then I also got to talk to my daughters just to get their reaction on the con. And they had invited a couple friends who were not comic fans.
What?
I know. And I got them to sit down and I interviewed them for a little bit. So Corey will run across that and add that in the podcasts of the con and kind of get their reaction to what they thought of a Comic Con. Because I always like that, you know, whether we're talking to Jen to get her reaction on something or I ask my wife, you know, what do you think of the Avengers movie or preview to try to see if it's got that mainstream appeal. And I thought it was kind of interesting. I mean, she came because my daughters were there. They paid to get in, which was very nice. And just to get their reaction, what they saw, what they felt. So there's all sorts of oodles of things. I can't wait to see what Corey runs across when he starts looking at some of the things I did while he was off getting gas.
Wait, I was off getting gas?
Well, you had something around you. Phew! Smelled worse than an old leather jacket hanging in my hallway.
Speaking of, after a year, my beloved, beat-up, old, piece-of-shit leather jacket is finally home.
Yes, the guys at the con found it, dragged it over to my house, thinking Corey just stops by my house willy-nilly.
I don't leave my house ever. I leave my house to go to work, the gym, and then I come home. And I lock the door, and I turn off the lights.
Yeah, when they started saying they will deliver groceries to your house, Corey's life was complete.
No more human contact. It's so wonderful. But have I told the story of how I lost the leather jacket?
Negative.
Okay. So last year at Fall Con,
I don't really care, folks, but it gives me a chance to have another one of these Mrs. Freshley's mini donuts. Oh.
Last year at Fall Con, they were doing another event at the exact same time. And that was the Half Price Book and Magazine. We're getting rid of all the shit in our warehouse, so give us a dollar and take it away. And the convention last year, I was working overnight. No, last year I wasn't working overnight. So last year, they had just told us our jobs were going away in February. So I wasn't really in the comic book mood. So I was there. I said hi to people. I looked through Steve Brown's big pile of stuff that he got through questionable means. And then I went over and I said, you know what? I could just stock up on my winter reading right now. I'll just go there, pick up classics because I don't care if a classic is beat up. Yeah, it's not like Oliver Twist just needs to be a brand new version, brand new copy. And I'm, you know, picking my books and going through things and actually really enjoyed the fact that, you know, rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of books. Not as much as some of the other people who had like two shopping carts full of stuff. where it's, good God, I thought I was a misanthrope. You must have mushrooms growing on you.
He who dies with the most wins.
And I get, my phone wasn't picking up a signal very well, but I, oh, my phone's buzzing. What's that? And Joe's, where are you? And I tap back. I'm over at the grandstand. Get over here. I don't know. I'm probably going to go home after I get this. And then you just sent me a picture of Butch, who I had not seen since 2001.
Yeah.
And at this point, I get in the line. And you know how normally you're in line and at a thing like that, and you're like, yeah, this is part of it. No, it was, come on, 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 God damn it, faster! And I get over there, and I'm trying to find him. I should have known, look for Xander Cannon. And then I see Butch, and I just walk up behind him and go, you no good, rat fucking son of a bitch! And I go and I put my leather jacket out because I don't want to carry it around the con. And Butch and I wander around. We're talking to people, saying hi. Everybody's surprised to see him. And then the convention closes down and Butch and I start walking toward cars. And it takes us 2 hours to get to our cars because we're just talking so much. We have not been around each other forever. And get in the car, go home. And as I'm driving home, it's like, man, it's really cold. You think I would have been smart enough to bring a jacket or a coat, wouldn't I? Yeah, I'm some sort of idiot. And when I get home, I realize I have left my leather jacket at the convention. So what I hope is that they just took it. Oh, here's a coat. We'll just put it in one of the boxes and pack it away, and we'll bring it out for spring. So SpringCon comes, and, you know, we're setting up the charity table, and I hunt down the two Mikes, and I go, hey, last fall, did you guys see a leather jacket? No, it was Mike and Kelly. You guys see a leather jacket? And they both go, nope, nope. Do we have a lost and found? Yep, right over there. I look, and it's not in there. And at that point, I realize it's probably gone. See, there's the sad music, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
But toward the end of the con, Mike Fragon, the guy in the hat, comes over and says, do you have a leather jacket? I said, well, I did. And he said, oh, it's in my car. I forgot to bring it today, but I'll make sure to you know, bring it to Falcon. And I said, you know, if you see Joe, just give it to Joe and Joe will let me have it. And boy, did Joe let me have it. How many pictures of you in my leather jacket did you take and put up on Facebook?
Well, that was the only one when I was wearing pants.
But after the con, the leather jacket and I were reunited, and it feels so good. You know who else learns a lesson, Joe?
Who?
These guys, our sponsors! This podcast and all the other podcasts that we have on the Solitaire Rose Network has sponsors, and our sponsors are, first, as always, our beloved DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best web host in the whole known universe. You need a website. Come on, you know you need a website. If you're going to set up a store, if you're going to start writing, if you're going to start drawing, if you're going to start creating, if you're going to start selling, you need a website. So go to DreamHost.com, use the code CRAZY, and get $20 off your first year. We have a new sponsor. That sponsor is Flaviar, Flaviar. Just go to the Solitaire Rose podcast website at crazycomics.solitairerose.com, where we're inviting you to join. It's a discovery service for spirits aficionados. You gain access to fine spirits at members-only prices. And if you use our link, you get a $10 credit when you join. Finally, if you're listening to this podcast, you are a good-looking person, and as a good-looking person, you cannot trust your skin to just any old razor. That's why we invite you to shave with the amazing razors from Dollar Shave Club. Every month, they send a box with your shave options. At the beginning of the week, pop in a fresh blade,
get that fresh blade shave. It feels fantastic. It's just one of the many ways that I maintain my good looks and you can maintain your good looks. So join us at the Dollar Shave Club. Their plans start at $3 a month and they have a money-back guarantee. So if you want to join, just go to www.dollarshaveclub.com/crazy. We love feedback. So if you'd like to give us feedback, you can send us an email at corey.strode@gmail.com, or you can call our voice line at 952-856-0519. Send us an email, drop us a message. We'll put you on the air. We'll answer your question. We love to interact with our fans. We've also got Facebook pages for the Solitaire Rose podcast, for the Crazy Comics and Stories podcast, and the upcoming Solitaire Rose Novelcast. So go to Facebook, be our friend. We love friends. If you would like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories, Solitaire Rose Radio, or the upcoming Solitaire Rose Novelcast, you can just send an email to corey.strode@gmail.com, subject advertising. Thanks.
Cool. Now, is this where...
What you been selling on eBay?
Oh, I thought this is where I mentioned MSP Comic-Con 2016 is coming, but I
did that.
I won't. I did that.
I'll be there.
I hope to. I got... let's see, where are we here? Next week, I bid on vacation, and I'm just going to bid that week off, so hopefully I can. And what sucks is because you can only bid on weeks, that means I'll be guaranteed to get Saturday off, but maybe not Sunday, so we'll see what happens. I've actually had a pretty good eBay week, and it all happened right before Comic-Con, so I actually had some money to blow. Corey, did you ever pick up Dark Horse's series Lady Killer?
I did not, but I hear it has gone nuts in back issues.
Oh, big time. Number one is like a $30 book. I believe it's out on trade. With that knowledge, I put my set together, unread, and blew it off on eBay. A lot of people have it at $50. One guy had it going like $35. So I set mine at $29 and just sold it. Sold a copy of Batman Illustrated by Neil Adams, Volume 2. I'd actually read these. I was tempted to keep these, but a lot of the Batman Neil Adams stuff that I really dug is in my Brave and Bold showcases. So much as I like the color, it's like, plus I know I sold Volume 1 years ago. So it's like, I don't know if I want to keep this around. I sold a copy. It was Cerebus High Society 30th Anniversary Gold Logo Signed and Numbered Edition.
Ooh.
Now, this is the one where they kind of, They cleaned up the artwork. They made it look really good, really spectacular. Still reads the same, so I decided to keep. I'm not sure if he's going to do this. I was hoping he was going to do this as a series. Maybe he was just doing it for High Society. Either way, how many copies of High Society do I need? If I'd have known he would continue, I might have hung on to it, but he didn't, so I sold it. Sold a hardcover, Dead Man Collection hardcover. This is back before they used the term omnibus. So it had all the strange adventures and another one of those books is just, you know, I read them. It was fun. Time to let it go. Sold a broken Gru the Wanderer cold cast Christmas ornament. Broke as...
Why did you break it?
Actually, I think I bought it that way. I bought it from Gruber a number of cons ago, and when I went to open it up, take a picture, the little sword handles on the top had snapped off. But it was a very clean break, so I advertised it that way. And somebody who is good with gluing cold cast porcelain together will enjoy it. And the last thing I'll blab about, you know, we've talked about how Marvel is trying to make the Inhumans the new X-Men.
Well,
now, I had a copies of the Inhumans, the original run, 1-12 from the 70s, all very good to very fine. Gruber says I bought it from him for $20. It was one of those last minute things where I lowballed him. I don't recall it that way. Either way, I sold the set for $100, so I told Pat I'd take him out for pizza sometime. So, added a couple new things, and of course, if you are interested at all, go check out eBay. My name's Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z, and if you do win something as a listener of this here podcast, I will give you, I'll do something, free shipping,
More likely, I'll toss in something from my vast accumulation of crap and just have a little fun with it. We've actually had a few listeners do that. Heck, if you just want a piece of my vast accumulation of crap, you don't even have to go that far. Just email me at crazycomics@gmail.com and I'll toss something in there for free. Maybe the picture of what I was doing with Corey's jacket, you know, before I put on pants. Oh, shit, he's listening. Okay, that's all I got. So much for crazy.
Well, you know what time it is now, don't you?
I got 11:58 p.m.
It's 8:57 p.m.
Oh, damn it, I'm in Pacific time. Oh, well.
That would be 6:57 p.m.
Joe, have you been drinking?
Holy crap, I'm in the middle of the Atlantic.
Joe's been drinking.
No, I've been eating this Mrs. Freshly mini donuts.
He's been eating the donuts and I don't have any.
Oh, these are good. Oh.
And I like donuts.
You wouldn't like these donuts.
Why?
Okay, you know when you go to the grocery, when you go to the gas station and they have the Hostess donuts?
Yeah.
These are the ones that aren't good enough for that.
What's sodium wrong with Joe? Carbonate, sodium aluminate, phosphate, monocalcium phosphate, sodium acid phosphate, egg yolk.
And Joe?
Triglycerides.
It's time for freaking and geeking.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is. What are you freaking on?
I thought you had a hanging in the home you wanted to hawk about.
Well, I could.
Yeah, why not?
Jen, do you want me to do the hanging in the home?
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay. You know, if she's not going to toss in much, she could at least be our editor.
That works for me.
Corey, do you have a hanging at the home story that you would like to tell at this time?
Why, yes, I do, Jen.
Very well, then. Please proceed.
At the comic convention, I re-won the title of the Best Dressed Man in Comics. We had a successful first outing podcasting there. It's like a big nerdy family reunion. I got to see all
sorts
of people.
Wait. Are you geeking or are you talking about your hanging at the home story?
Don't interrupt the setup.
I'm the editor.
Don't interrupt the setup.
Fine. Going back on mute.
I was with you there, Jen, but let's see where he's going with it.
So by the time the convention ends on Saturday, yet? I'm feeling pretty full.
Are we there yet?
Do I have time for another donut?
I'm feeling like a big shot. Feeling like kind of a big deal. Next day, I have a 12-hour shift at the group home. I get there, I read through the log, and all of a sudden, from down in one of the rooms, I hear, "I need help." Go down. One of the clients is sitting on the commode, and they didn't get there in time. "I need cleaned up. Can you get me new pants?" I go, "You're going to need a new shirt, too." So I'm doing a sponge bath while they're sitting on the commode in their bathroom. Get them all cleaned up. Get them dressed. As they stand up to be, completely cleaned. I have the plastic, the glove on. I have the wet wipes and everything. And as I'm doing it, I hear, "You really got to get in there to get it all out. Make sure you get it all out." So, Joe, no matter how big I think I am, the next day reminds me I'm not that big a deal.
Take it in and get it out.
Now it's time for Freakin' a Geekin'. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Nothing. Jen, what are you freaking on?
Okay, so I like the cold, but not when I'm trying to sleep. And it's been getting very cold at night, so they haven't turned on the boiler, I guess, in my building. So it's fine during the daytime, but at nighttime it's very cold in my apartment. So
the weather's been crazy. It was like 80 degrees yesterday. Cold hot. It dropped 30 degrees. We're like in the 50s. It's supposed to get 60 tomorrow and sunny, so hopefully that helps.
Yeah, it was very windy today.
It won't help much at night.
Yeah, but the other night I had to, I was trying to sleep and I haven't, someone gifted me a really nice down comforter, but I need to wash the duvet cover. So I haven't used it yet, but I had two bedspreads, a blanket, and my bathrobe on top of me. I kind of built a little
fort
cocoon, yes, out of laundry and pretty much anything I could find but kindling to keep warm while I was sleeping. And of course I have to have the white noise so the fan was on. I suppose I could turn the fans, it's not actually blowing on me. I just thought
it. You don't have tinnitus, do you?
No. I just have to have the white noise.
Yeah, see, I've got a little of that, so if I don't have it, I hear.
I don't hear anything, just somehow the silence is distracting. I have to have a fan or something on.
If it's absolutely still, I can sleep, but then the minute somebody does, you know, like, that wakes me up. So, yeah, the white noise is good. How about you, Strode? How do you sleep?
On the bodies of my enemies.
Can't give you straight lines all the time, I'm telling you. Okay, throw it. Jen, now you gotta throw it to Corey, I suppose.
Oh, Corey, what are you freaking on?
Well, first, last episode we had to do an apology for Jen. Because if she got drunk.
For Jen? I thought you said that was just for everything.
Well, it became for everything, but Jin's the one who brought the lawyers in.
Good job.
And we had music in the background of the apology. And when I uploaded it to the YouTube, I guess the music for the apology was a little too loud because we got a copyright notice saying you cannot monetize this because you're using the song I'm Sorry by Brenda Lee. Now, Joe, I could have fixed that.
I could have taken
the music out. Her lawyers aren't. But I figure the music was important enough that we will forego our 8 cents of advertising that we get from putting it up on YouTube.
Oh, so good.
The spinoff of Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, has ended, and it was everything that I feared it would be. See what I did there?
Yes.
I have always said that the opening of a zombie apocalypse is no longer interesting because it's always, why are the dead getting up and walking around? Why is my cousin coming toward me looking hungry? So we got 6 episodes of that, which would have been okay if the characters were interesting. They're not. Fear the Walking Dead, yeah, I think I've tapped out. All new, all different Marvel has already started. Secret Wars number 6 came out the same week. There are 3 more issues of Secret Wars to go before we find out what the hell happened to bring us to this point. Ay, the scheduling is...
Yeah. Ah, who cares? It reads good.
And I have made it halfway through the new Star Wars novel that dropped on Force Friday. Joe, what's my big complaint about Star Wars and Star Trek novels and why I lose interest?
That some people won't try bacon for religious reasons, but you won't try religion for bacon reasons?
No.
Oh, I like bacon.
I like bacon. Didn't get any, but I did get some donuts. Oh, God, I love it.
The new Star Wars novel?
Mm-hmm.
Wedge Antilles is in it till he gets put in a coma.
Well, good. It would have cost way too much to get an actor to come back for the movies.
There's a hologram of Princess Leia. There is a scene of...
Have you seen what Carrie Fisher looks like now?
There's a scene in the book of Admiral Akbar applying lotion to his skin.
Akbar!
That goes on for 3 pages. Yeah, I'm not a fan of this book at all. It's a bunch of characters I don't know, and it's a lifetime drama of a mom who went away to fight in the war, and when she comes back, her son is a sullen teenager that she has to win over again. And Joe, what are you geeking on?
Well, we talked a bit about the weather. I spent Sunday out on my deck, drink in one hand, reading comic books. And it was fantastic. I mean, other than like when I had to go inside and fill my drink and then get all the ladybugs out of my porch and toss them outside. And the little boogers get in there beyond me. But I understand what you're talking about because part of the books that I read the Secret Wars. I was able to score a action figure variant at the source. I woke up last Wednesday and I was like, I wonder what books come out. Oh, Secret Wars is out. I got 15 minutes to get ready to go to work and get the cover source to get my Secret Wars. Ah! But I got it. And then as soon as I got it, I drove as fast as I could to the airport, parked on the top of the roof, turned the windows. Well, it was kind of chilly, so I left them partway down, and I read it. Oh, this is fun. This is fun. I know it's going to be till December, till issue 9, but and of course, I tweeted, Corey, the best line out of so far the entire Secret Wars, and I don't think I'm giving away anything if I say it here.
Okay, let's hear it.
How do you forget you have a hamburger in your pocket? In a case of, I think they revealed something they didn't want to, Old Man Logan number 5 came out, and I read it, and I think it reveals something that they probably didn't want us to know until after Secret Wars was done. But I did have an implosion on Secret Wars, trying to catch up. Amazing Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows, 5. Future Imperfect, 5. Secret Wars 2099, 5. Korvac, 4. Guardians of Nowhere, 4. Infinity Gauntlet, which I'm not that impressed with, but, you know, I've already ordered it. And Weird World, which I'm just absolutely tripping on. I got from Titans Part 4 and Part 5 of the Four Doctor crossover. That was a lot of fun. You know, I love it when the Doctors cross over, but, you know, really, it's like they're going to the well a lot with this. So let it rest for a while, at least till the next Doctor comes up. Speaking of crossover event of 2015, Star Trek, Green Lantern, The Spectrum War. I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's all right.
It's okay.
Don't panic. Super late, but the Thrilling Adventure Hour presents Beyond Belief number 2 came out. This is just, when I saw these guys, and I don't know if they, I think they're actual radio show. They're not just a podcast, or maybe they're a podcast. I don't know. But it's basically two socialites, and they basically drink a lot, and they happen to fight supernatural things. I'm dying to see them in a Doctor Strange crossover. It would be fantastic. Anyways, issue 2 came out, and I believe it was coded February or April, so it's 4 issues, so they're really, really late. I did get a copy of Jughead number 1. I remember I freaked about that a while back that I hadn't read it. I'm enjoying the new Archie series, and Jughead, it's kind of funny the way they personalize him, because he gets what he wants, and he doesn't always, he's not mean about how he gets it. But what I like with the Archie comics is they also are reprinting, like, the original appearances of the various characters. Like in Jughead 1, they did a classic Jughead strip from Jughead number 1, 1949. So it's kind of fun that they're doing, I mean, it's probably filler, you know, to give me my $3.99 worth. But that was fun. One of the number ones I read, I mentioned earlier, I did read Doctor Strange number 1, and Corey, it is everything we want. It is outstanding. I wonder, this seems to be a younger Doctor Strange. Again, I don't know how it's going to jive up with Secret Wars, but I enjoyed the heck out of it, and it is naturally continued, which I got to wait 30 days, but it was fun. So we had a good time. When, after the con, Corey came over, picked up his jacket. We went to Mama's Pizza, one of my favorite pizzeria places. Corey, what'd you think of Mama's there?
I thought it was really nice, except it was so crowded.
Are you going to take me for pizza, Joe?
One of these days, we definitely will.
Will you take Butch too?
Absolutely. We're not, Butch, you know, unlike Corey, I don't exclude Butch.
Butch and I like pizza a lot.
Yeah, Mama's. Actually, you know, that wasn't really crowded for, and it cleared out by the time we left. But, you know, it was a small, standalone, individual, I don't know, what do you call it, proprietorship store. So I've been eating there since high school.
Yeah, just a little mom and pop, sure.
And it's a very unique style pizza. You either like it or you hate it. And, I've loved it for ages. Dana.
What do you geek about it, Joe?
Oh, I always geek about it. Oh. Dana stayed overnight because it got late. You know, Corey just took forever to eat his pizza. But so the next day, after I spent all day on my ass reading comics, I gave Dana a ride home and all her goody stuff from the con. And we stopped at Target, and then as we were leaving, we figured we'd go somewhere to eat, and she suggested a place called Raising Cane's, which I had never been to, but the place was packed and crowded. You know what?
Oh, yeah, something's they have up. Those in Texas. That was, like, yeah. Matt's favorite place to eat.
And this is, like, the one of the third times the store has opened up here. It's kind of like Chick-fil-A, but they do chicken fingers. I mean, they had cops in the parking lot directing traffic.
And that's all they do is chicken fingers.
That's all they do. And it was,
you don't want chicken fingers. You're just shit out of luck.
And it was good. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was. I ate too many of them. I went for the 8 platter. And then, of course, Dana had a 6 platter, and I didn't eat 2 of them. So I ate them. But
I can only eat, like, 2 of those things. What's wrong with you?
I hadn't eaten all day.
Their garlic bread is really good.
I was sitting out on my ass reading comics. I didn't eat. We talked a bit about eBay, but the one thing, I did bring some of my vast accumulation of crap to the show. I didn't expect a lot of people to buy anything. I did have my little PayPal card reader ready just in case. But I did end up selling 3 things. I sold a crossed Badlands Patient Zero ash can that was signed by Ennis, Zahner, and Burroughs. Oddly enough, I sold it to Gruber, from whom I bought it when he was doing his final sale last SpringCon. See, that's how it works. Bat buys it from me, I buy it from him, it just keeps the world keeps going around. He did buy a copy of Night of the Living Dead. It was a sketch edition variant that had a incredible painted picture of obviously a zombie on the cover. I don't know who the artist was. They had the initials KM on it, and the book came out 2012, so I made a deal with Pat for that. And I sold my hardcover of Amazing World of Carmen Infantino. This was the limited edition that came signed and numbered. And then when Carmine was at the MCBA, way back when the Thunderbird, we were still doing it there, he re-signed it, as did the guy who, I penned the book, I guess, or ghost-writ it, or whatever you want to say, because it's always Carmine Infantino with whoever. The guy who wanted to buy it, of course, was hemming and hawing, but I'm like, you know, this is Carmine. You're not getting his autograph again. It's a limited edition book, and I sold it below cost anyways. So, well, I think I might have sold it at cost because I bought it back when we were still buying things wholesale. So that was kind of cool. A couple of things. Made a little money, turned around, spent it right away. So it all balances out. TV-wise, we're wading through The Critic, John Lovett's old TV show. And I got home last night, and Holly had started up The Corpse Bride off of Netflix, Tim Burton's show. So I watched that, and of course, after watching that, you got to watch The Nightmare Before Christmas. So that's about the extent of my Halloween television watching. Jen, what are you geeking on?
There's a lot of cute boys on the internet.
The one I like is the guy who's got the robin with a cow on it. Boy, he bet you he gets all the chicks.
Corey, what are you geeking on? Stop talking to me.
Stop laughing at her.
Later this week, in movie theaters, they will be broadcasting the Royal Shakespeare Company's production of Hamlet, starring Benedict Cumberbatch. And yes, I am geeking on that. I cannot wait to see it. It is the full text of Hamlet. I probably will be the only one in the theater, but I don't care. I get to see Hamlet on the stage of the Globe Theater with Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's almost as cool as The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe, read by Christopher Walken.
I can't even do a Christopher Walken impression anymore. Christopher Walken.
Didn't he have that big hairy teddy bear?
The Walking Dead has returned as of this week with a 90-minute episode, and it shows why Fear the Walking Dead sucks so hard. It was phenomenal. It was like a movie. It just beautifully paced, beautifully put together, very tense, lots of great ideas being thrown at you all at once, so that you had a lot to think about before next week's episode. The comic also... I think I've mentioned a couple times, you know, how the comic people will start to go, oh, nothing happens, nothing happens. Ladies and gentlemen, shit is happening. The other comic that I got really caught up on was Knights at the Dinner Table. I had let about 6 months worth stack up, so I got the end of this long storyline they've been doing. And I like the fact that afterward, they're dealing with the aftermath. If you are a tabletop gamer in any way, this is a comic you need to be reading. You're going to enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. And then the last thing I read, the last issue of Renew Your Vows for Spider-Man came out. And it showed that no matter what sort of situation you give Dan Slott for Spider-Man, he writes a great Spider-Man story. He understands the character. He understands the world. He understands how all the pieces fit together better than just about anybody since, I would say, the Roger Stern in the 80s, maybe Marv Wolfman and Len Wein. This is a phenomenal Spider-Man run, and years from now, people will be pointing to it as that's the way Spider-Man needs to be. And that's what I'm geeking on. Well, believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about comic books for over an hour.
This was kind of a boring episode.
Well, you weren't listening anyway.
I wasn't listening, but I mean, I can tell because you're not even really distracting me while I'm trying to read.
Well, thanks for the vote of confidence there.
I mean, I guess I just have to make drinking a weekly thing.
Well, Jen, I wouldn't worry about it because tomorrow morning, October 13, 2015, Unicron will be seen devouring the Earth. It'll only happen one time ever. So no one's even going to hear this podcast. Now's our chance to tell Corey what we really think of him.
What are you talking about, Joe?
Then again, you did give me Mrs. Freshly's mini donuts. Oh, and they're frosted. Oh.
Well, as we say every week, kids, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
We're forming a union, jerkhole. My foot in your face. Skate Man.
What?
Throw it to Jin, Joe.
No, did somebody say something? Call Joe's mama. What?
She wanted to come to the con this year.
What?
You're supposed to throw it to Jin, Joe.
I threw it. It's thrown.
I thought you were supposed to say hit my music.
It's thrown. I said what needed to be said.
So there will be no music.
It'll be Joe's music.
Okay.
Now you've ruined it.
Yeah,
you've gone on
Corey.
Too long.
Boy.
I don't know what's going on.
Play some random music.
You better apologize for screwing my mama's music. I don't even feel like dancing, but I do feel like eating another Mrs. Freshly's mini donut.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what Joe says.
Wow.
The end is the only good part of this. That's almost philosophical.
I'm going home.
Good night.
That was fast to our home.
Funk is on a roll. Funk is on a roll.
Hey, yo. Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here.
Final preparations of judging the best dressed man in comics. Right now, the contestants are Corey, Rat Bastard Strode.
Are you already?
Lindsay. Here we have the judges. Let's find out. They are here to judge who will be the best dressed man in comics. Judges, please start the instructions.
Hold on. I have a promo.
Oh, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know who I am?
No.
I am Corey Strode, the best dressed man in comics. I am the creator of the title. I am the holder of the title. I nurtured this title. This title means more to me than life itself.
He's so humble.
And this wannabe thinks you can challenge me? Let me tell you something, Lyndon Palmer, if that is your real name. I am the picture of sartorial perfection. I am a dedicated follower of fashion. Many have tried for the title, and all of them go home crying, sobbing, and here's the thing, they never, ever come back. They may show up in shame with their face covered, wearing a faded Batman t-shirt and jeans that fit 10 years ago. But they don't show their face. Ever. Ever. Again. So, good luck with the depression that is to come.
May I just say that he had to write that before? So he practiced this in front of the mirror with this terrible outfit on. And I'm just going to do this freeform for everybody. Because look at him. They're not hiding in shape. It's because he smells so rank. Because he doesn't wash himself. Have you looked at him? He looks like dirty laundry and he doesn't smell much better.
So, with your thrift store pants, your wannabe vest, because you wish you could wear a vest as long as I have, and your Walmart shirt, you're challenging judges. Polyester versus the original. Make your choices.
All right, judges. Get in there, Judge. Get in there close.
That has nothing to do with
it.
Ah,
but it's still the truth.
Yeah, okay, lift. Ooh, lavender.
Okay, looking good. The judges are taking their time.
Yes, I'd also like to point out his terrible choice of colors. This man has
Turn around.
Colors. I see colors.
Judges, have you had enough time?
Wait,
do you want to confirm?
Judges, come here and
check the fits.
Come here. Look at the fit here. Okay, we look at his bum here.
It's kind of flat.
It's kind of flat and just kind of there.
Yeah, he's there.
Okay, turn around. But look at hers. Bam! There it is.
His butt is very nice.
Yeah, Terry, I...
Okay,
his butt is nice, yeah.
All right. All right, judges, would you please confirm?
All right, come here.
You gotta get in there.
Oh, God.
This is the moment.
I like the blue. Yeah, the belt is really good.
Wait, I hear you got problems. I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems. Put a wardrobe in one.
You have to quote mainstream lyrics to try to offend me.
I'm not trying to offend you. I'm getting
all right, judges, could you please render your opinion?
And the group?
Okay.
Are
you
ready? 1, 2, 3,
Linda! No! No! Wait a minute.
What?
Hold on.
Yeah.
I need a ruling.
Ladies
and gentlemen, could you please remove the tie?
I do not
remove
strip on
the tie.
I don't strip on camera.
Remove the tie.
I'm afraid he's got you there. You're going to have to remove the tie.
Oh,
clip on! You are now.
I want to rule it. I want to rule it right now.
We are the winner.
And still champion. Thank you.
Get a shot of the loser.
Fit me and it still looks classy as shit.
Excuses.